All right. What Stan is passing out today is not the message, okay? But it's connected to it, all right? So I just want each one of you to have those. You can take it home with you and look at it. We'll talk about it a little bit in the message today. But I just want to say thank you for being here, and I hope you didn't come here today to hear what I have to say. You may think that's strange, eh? But I want you to hear what God has to say through me. And that should be our prayer today. And that is certainly my prayer, okay? As I began to ask God to give me the subject of today, there was a bit of a struggle. But finally, I was able to listen to his spirit as to where I was to go today with the message. Okay. And the title of my message today is Developing a Christ-like Mindset. A little bit high. So I want to ask you today, as you see the things that you're involved in on a daily basis, and we who claim to be believers, people who have put our faith and our trust in Christ, how are we doing in the area of developing a Christ-like mind? So before we get into that, let's just have a word of prayer once again and ask the Lord to lead us. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we just have an opportunity even to come to your house. And we pray, God, that you would be with us today as we look at your word. May you reveal the truth to us through it, through your Holy Spirit. We pray for the ones that can't be here for any reason. For the ones that are suffering, God, we just ask you have your hand upon them. And we just pray, God, that you would help us as a church to know the direction we are to go in every area tomorrow night. And for the things that you have planned for us in the life of this church, in this body. We ask you now to bless your word in your precious name. Amen. So, the Holy Spirit, we know, is very important in the sense that we need something as we read God's word and as we begin to develop a Christ-like mind. We have to have something happen. And we know that at the time that we decide that we want to accept Jesus as our Savior and get on a personal basis with him and a personal relationship, he gave us something at that moment. Anybody know what that is? He gave us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. So we'll be moving around a little bit in the scriptures today. We'll move along a little bit quicker maybe than usual. But I just want us at the end of the service hopefully to understand how important it is for you and I to determine who we are going to listen to. Whose voice are we going to listen to? There's some very important things we need to know when it comes to determining what voice we're going to listen to. Okay, so let's begin, and I'm going to ask you this. What is needed to begin having a Christ-like mind? I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, if you have your Bibles. Okay, John chapter 1. 12 and 13. It says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God," as the song talked about, okay? "To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." You see, as many has received him. If you have received Christ as your Savior and you believe that he died for you It says there that he gave them the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. That's what you need to do, okay? But it says it's something that was not done when we are born into the Spirit of God. You remember? The Bible says that we are born of water. Every one of us that are here today were born in an embryonic fluid, and we came into this world, okay? That's the first birth. Okay, obviously, if you're here, you were born, okay, in this sense, all right? But the Bible talks about us needing another birth. So when we begin to understand what God wants for us, and he wants us to put our faith and our trust in him, and we do that, we are then considered to be born again. Remember Nicodemus? He said, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God? He said, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. He didn't fully understand what he was talking about at the time, right? But anyway, that's what it is. We need to be born again. Well, how do we become born again? Well, we're born once of the flesh, but to become a child of God, we need another birth. We need to have a spiritual birth, okay? And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are born again. I hear those say, you got to watch those Christians over there because they are the born-again kind. I'm here to tell you that is the only kind there is, okay? If you're born again, that's what the Bible requires, okay? So what I want you to think about today, let's bring it into focus as much as we can on what we're doing on a day-to-day basis, you and I, personally, day-to-day, and how that relationship that we have affects how we think, how we act, and what we do, and what we get involved in, and what we do not get involved in. The Bible lays it out very, very clear in so many areas. We can't cover them all, in fact, this morning, but we're going to look at a few. So, can we turn the lighting up here a little bit back there? Is that possible, Josh? That's good as she goes? Okay. As good as I get? Thank you. Okay. Now, if we look at Galatians, let's just turn to Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You want to become a son of God, you have to put your faith in Christ Jesus. And once you do that, we receive his Holy Spirit, okay? And when we receive that, it begins to develop our thinking to be more like Christ. Okay? Is that important to you? It is to me. Because growing up, my parents, as I began to grow and have understanding, I realized that there were certain things that my parents wanted for me. There were certain things they wanted me to do. And there were certain things they did not want me to do. And I began to learn I could obey or I could disobey them. I could listen to them and what they wanted, or I could decide it was more important to do what I wanted. Okay? I want you to know when we have the Spirit of Christ, there's something we have to do when we have the Spirit of Christ. We need to listen and yield to his voice. You find that difficult to do? I think at times we all do. Paul said, I daily buffet my body for the cause of Christ. What does he mean by that? Does it mean that he sat there and beat himself up to a pulp every day? No. Where was the struggle? The struggle was that he had to really pull himself in when it comes to the desires of the world. You and I still can struggle with that today. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. It can be a real struggle in our lives. Okay? Paul said that he struggled with that, so we're not alone. Okay? But what it means is the world has a continual pull to pull us into their ways. Okay? We need to understand if we are not yielding to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will begin to slide in the direction of the world. You see, because the world has a spirit too. Yeah. But it's not the Holy Spirit, is it? Okay? It's the spirit of the God of this world. There's something that's referred to, many of you may have heard of it, something called the zeitgeist. Anyone here ever heard of the word zeitgeist? Okay, Barb? Few? Patty? Few? Okay. Basically what the zeitgeist is, it really means the spirit of the age. In other words, there's a time in history when there will be a spirit that is trying to draw us away from the Holy Spirit or from God's plan. Certain times in history, some things are more attractive, more effective. Today, it's been said, and I believe it's probably correct, that the zeitgeist of the day, or the spirit of the day in the time that we live in North America especially, maybe not everywhere in the world, is a word called consumerism. Consumerism is the spirit of the age of which we live in, I do believe, in North America today. You ask, what do I mean? What I mean is that we get so caught up in our world today of trying to consume things. All right? Consumption, it's huge. And because of it, we have a lot of waste in our world and in our country. Things we don't really need. How do we end up with all those things that we don't really need? I don't know about your place, but I was cleaning up my shop. I don't know if your shop ever gets dirty, but mine gets real dirty sometimes. Well, that's been a major job. We've been cleaning that shop for about 2 weeks off and on, and we're finally maybe getting to the end stages. Well, what's interesting is you're going through your stuff is you realize, why did I get this? I never use it. I don't need it. What caused me to even buy it? I just wasted my money. I got caught up in consumerism. Who was I listening to when I was in that place? Me. Kurt said, I really want that. And you know what? I realized, Kurt, you shouldn't even listen to yourself. So many times I catch myself listening to the wrong voice. Okay? If I'm not listening, it doesn't do me any good. You know, if we want to have a more Christ-like mind and begin to really develop that, we need to seriously ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. And by the way, that's the only way that we're going to fully understand what's in here, in God's Word. And we're going to see that in just a moment, okay? How important that is that we know that. Because a lot of the world today, I want to give you something to think about. A lot of the world today, as they begin to walk in their Christian life, they're not listening to the Holy Spirit necessarily. And you and I can get caught up in that. So I want to just talk to you a minute about this. I go around today and I've seen people who have a Bible, and yet so much of the time this goes here and everybody else's books are here. Because we can get to the place where we may decide that I don't know what God has to say really in here. So I'm, rather than trusting in the Holy Spirit to lead me, I'm going to have an author of some other book that I believe the Holy Spirit is talking to lead me. I want you to understand how dangerous that can be. And hear this. I'm not against other authors who are godly people, but I want you to do something that's very important. Always test what they have to say with this. Why? Because if you are fully putting your trust in them spending time in God's Word and conveying that to you as truth, you are really exposing yourself to getting led down the wrong path. Understand, I want you to know, I'm not saying not to use any of these other books and literature, but I want you to know this needs to be number one, and anything else you read needs to be tested against this. There are many people misleading many other people today in the name of Christianity. Through this whole election, I'll give you an example of how we can be misled so easy. I understand that God had prophets in His Word. All agreed? God had prophets. You see, in the Old Testament, God did not have His Holy Spirit indwell everyone. It would come upon them and leave, do different things. But here's how He spoke to most of the, or to the people at the beginning of history up to now. Not up to now, but up till when Jesus came, sorry. He spoke through His prophets. Okay? Jeremiah, here's what I want you to say to the people. You go and talk to them. Here's what I want them to hear. And hopefully they'll listen. Guess what happened? A lot of times they said, nah, I don't think so. What do you think prevented them from really listening? What do you think? Anybody? What are some of the reasons they might not listen to the prophet? Anybody? Didn't line up with what they wanted. You mean they might want something different than what God wanted? Okay, absolutely. Who were they listening to? Huh? Satan. Remember? Okay. We got to be careful. Careful that we do not listen to the voice of men that are not godly, and the wisdom of men who are not wise, and certainly not the wrong spirit. Okay? So let's look at a few. Okay? It says, or I'm saying here, so to have a Christian or Christ-like mind, we must have His Holy Spirit. That is absolutely a must. There's no other way. Okay? So understand that. If you want to know what God wants in your life, you must understand you have to read His Word and listen to what the Holy Spirit says. Okay? And I'll just get to the next one. I should have brought my glasses. I'm getting to that point, right? Okay? Okay, here's one of the things we need. You and I, what we really need to look at today is we need Christ-like wisdom. Okay, you want to be wise? Thank you very much. That did help a lot. Okay, we need Christ-like wisdom, which is godly wisdom. We have to have godly wisdom to develop more of a Christ-like mind, okay? Now, there's a lot of wisdom, okay, that people refer to. There is worldly wisdom. You know, there really is, okay? And I want you to know there's a lot of, no, that's good. I'm good now. Thank you. Worldly knowledge, okay? The Bible says as we get closer to the end that knowledge is going to increase big time. What do you think? You think we might be there? I mean, it just happens almost weekly. I have people come to my place, hey, did you see the new thing you can do now on your phone or the new equipment now? You don't have to do this anymore. It does all the thinking for you. In fact, there was a guy telling me last night about what's called a CNC, standing for computer numerically controlled machine. That's what it means. And what was interesting, I had seen them before, is if you've never seen it, it's impressive. It is a lathe. If you don't know what a lathe is, it's a thing that cuts metal and shapes objects out of raw metal, okay? And they can program this thing, and it has a lot of different heads that come out at different times with cutters, and they'll build just about anything you want to build. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. That's impressive. That knowledge is growing big time and at a tremendous speed. Okay? But sometimes, even though we're growing in knowledge and more knowledge and what a lot of people are putting their faith in is knowledge. If you don't believe me, go to a lot of the universities. They believe we can solve all of our problems and all of our issues through knowledge. Okay? That's not what I believe. That's not what the Bible says, because you can have a lot of knowledge and have very little wisdom to know how to use the knowledge. Because you can use knowledge and technology for good or for bad. Do you believe that? Have you seen the last election in the U.S.? In the U.S. where they've used knowledge and technology to do all kinds of things. Some for good, some for bad, right? Okay. So, let's just see here. Let's go to, if you have your Bibles again, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2. And we'll begin in verse 4. And I'll read to 16. So if you'll just follow along with me, I'll read it quickly, okay? And it says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom." They were not, okay? "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be," now listen, verse 5, very important, "that your faith should not be in the wisdom of" who? "Of men, but in the power of God." Put your faith in the power of God, not the wisdom of men. "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age," okay, "who are coming to nothing." All the wisdom that the world has to offer in the end will be good for absolutely nothing. Hard to believe, isn't it? Okay? But it says here, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden mystery," or the hidden wisdom, "which God ordained before the ages for our glory." So let's stop there just for a moment, okay? It says, "For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." I want you to know, until you receive the Holy Spirit in your life, a lot, or all, shall I say, of spiritual things is a mystery to you. It's a mystery to the world. If you talk to people and begin to share the gospel, what you'll find a lot of times, we just don't understand. And you say to yourself sometimes, how can these people not see this isn't good? How can they see that this is not see that this is wrong? This is bad for our country. Or this is bad for their lives. I want you to know, to them, this is a mystery. Until they become a believer and receive the Holy Spirit and begin to get understanding of what God's mystery really is. Did you know that the church at one time was a mystery? Okay? It was. Couldn't understand. You know? "I will build my kingdom." Yes. Okay? A lot of people at that time, when Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," didn't understand. You see, the Jews, his own people, wanted him to come back. He wasn't the Messiah. They didn't believe, because he didn't restore their kingdom here on earth. It was a mystery to them. But to the ones that believed, and the church began, the church age began, understanding came and then progressed more and more through the Holy Spirit talking to his people. But as we move on, "which of none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." See, had they have only known and been listening to God, they wouldn't have did what they did. Okay? Including the Roman Empire. Okay? But here's what I want us to look at quickly here. Verse 9 says, "For it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered unto the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." You know what? We, even as Christians, can't grasp all the things that God has waiting for you and I. We can't even, Paul even was able to see what was waiting for us. And when he came back, they said, "What was it like?" He said, "There's no words to explain it. It's beyond explanation." So when we begin to listen to the spirit of this age, if we're not careful, we need to understand all the things that we think are important. At some point, we'll realize don't mean anything. Maybe you already have. I hope you have, okay? Just remember this. Everything that you have today, possession-wise or material-wise, I don't care if you have a brand new automobile. They're nice. I like them too. But one thing we need to realize, it won't be very many years. You know where you will find that automobile? Can anybody tell me? Anybody? Melvin? Sure. You'll find it in the junkyard. What does it mean to you? Nothing. It's a heap. Okay? So what I'm saying is just listen to the Holy Spirit in everything that you do. He will guide you. He is in your life. He's indwelling you. But you have to listen. You know, I don't gain anything when I don't listen to other people that are trying to tell me something. If I just ignore them, probably wouldn't help me any, would it? Someone told me the Dunvegan Bridge was out, and they knew I was heading that way, and I said, I'm not listening to that. Okay? Might be a real reality check at night when I'm coming down through there over the speed limit, which I shouldn't be doing, right? Okay? We have to listen. We just have to listen. But we really, truly need to do that, okay? And then just down to 16, and we'll stop there. "But God has revealed to them us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things." Yes, the deep things of God. You want to know what the deep things of God are? You have to have the Holy Spirit to find it and to search deep. "For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." If man doesn't have the Holy Spirit, he can only understand what the spirit of man, and that's God of this world, is telling him, okay? That's what the difference is. It says, "But now we have received," 13, "these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things," okay? "But the natural man," now listen to this, "the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God." They just can't. So that helps you understand why people just don't get it sometimes when it comes to spiritual matters. They can't. Okay, understand that. Be gracious to them, okay? "For they are the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him." You ever have somebody kind of, you know, at least if they don't write out and tell you, kind of allude to the fact they think what you're doing. We come here on Sunday to worship God. How foolish is that? You really think God is sending, has sent his son? Do you really think that Jesus is coming back to get you? How silly is that? You guys have been saying that for 2,000 years and he's not here yet. Okay? They think it's foolishness. Don't be surprised. They don't have the Spirit of Christ, so they will not have the mind of Christ, okay? "But it says, no one can know them because they are spiritually discerned." So what he's saying here is the only way you can know what God wants for you day by day, minute by minute, and help you to discern right from wrong is his Spirit. Okay? Understand that. All right? Now, there are some things that we're born with, in a sense, to know we just shouldn't do, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that, okay? But when it comes into real spiritual matters, there's only one way, and that's His Holy Spirit speaking to us through His Word, okay? All right. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have, what? The mind of Christ. Now I want to just, for a minute, talk about this. If you're a Christian here today, and I hope you are, and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, to His voice, and yielding to that, rather than our own or the world, okay, I want you to know something very important. It makes a difference if we understand our identity. Okay? Every one of us here has an identity of some sort. Okay? I can prove my identity. I have it in my wallet. I have several documents that prove that I am who I say I am. Okay? I have a driver's license. I have a gun possession card. Okay, I have different things that I can prove that I am who, and guess what else? I have a picture. One guy told me, a lawyer told me, he said, you know, it looks like you just got out of a Mexican jail in that picture. But it's still me, okay? But here's what I want you to understand. We need to realize that our identity is in Christ Jesus. That's who we are as Christians. And sometimes I think we fail to realize that our role as a Christian or our role in the secular world does not identify us. It is just our role. And why is that so important? Here's why. If your identity is in your role or your job or your position, what happens when that role changes? And you are the CEO of some huge corporation making six digits or whatever it may be. Should that identify you? Is that where your real true identity lies, or is that your role? Okay. What if that job goes away? All of a sudden, are you still not who you were in Christ? Absolutely. But sometimes we fail to remember that. It's not based on our role. It's based on our relationship with Him. So that no matter what comes, we can still and will still listen to the Holy Spirit and what God wants in their life, okay? How much time have I got, Dave? Ten? Huh? Okay. I'll try to quit pretty soon. All right. So, let's just move on. We'll just go through a few more scriptures. But I just want to give one more quick example, and then if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 4, and we're going to read 25 through 32. Okay, just in a couple of minutes. Okay. But I want to give you an example of something that I've seen through this U.S. election. It's all over now, okay? Well, the election, most of it is. There's still a lot of things going on. But through this election, I would just get a little bit of update on YouTube and different news. That's basically what we have for TV at home anymore. But as I was scrolling through on over the months that the election was going through, here's what I've seen. I seen a lot of people on YouTube claiming to be Christians who were pretending to be a prophet. Okay? And I did not put basically any trust in what they had to say. Why? Because I know what the Bible has to say about a prophet. See how important that is? But I thought, I'm going to watch some of these. I didn't watch a bunch, but there was a few. I said, I'm going to watch and see what they keep prophesying. Every single one, at the end of the day, said, you don't have to worry. God has told me to tell you. Always be careful with that. Always be careful with that. What they should say is, God has told me, has spoken to me to speak a word to you through here. If it's not filtered through here, it's not worth anything. But anyway, I watched, okay? So somebody said, you don't have to worry, Mr. Trump is gonna be in. These were Christian, supposedly, prophets. Then you have the secular world saying, oh, you watch this report or that report, you don't have to worry, there's a secret operation going on. You have the conspiracy group. And you know what I noticed? I know some people, and if I'm not careful, I would do the same thing. I had to do like Paul. I had to beat myself up on some of this stuff. You know what I noticed? Is most of them would listen to the ones that were saying what they wanted to hear. You ever do that? Okay. What it needs to boil down to is what is true and what does God want? Well, the election was over. Guess what? Haven't heard a thing. All of those prophets were wrong. Did you know the Bible makes it very clear? A true prophet is never wrong. Did you know that? God, in one case, changed what he told the prophet to tell them and then said, no, I'm going to repent on that. I'm not going to do it. But that wasn't the prophet's fault. God changed his mind. But if you are listening to the wrong spirit and not the Holy Spirit, you can get caught up in all of that. So, Ephesians. Chapter 4, 25 to 32. If we are truly walking in the Spirit of Christ, we need to see some changes in our lives. We need to be different from the world. Let's look, okay? Chapter 4, starting in verse 25. Excuse me. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one body. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Have you done that this past week? Anybody? Don't stick your hand up. Okay? Anyway. And then it says, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers? And verse 33 is a key one in this passage. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In closing, if we are really, truly listening and yielding to what God is saying to us, things begin to change. If you're a brand new Christian, you haven't listened to the Holy Spirit for very long, have you? So you're not quite sure all the things that you should and shouldn't do yet. We need to be very, very patient and kind with those people. Remember, we were once there. Okay? But let's encourage one another to do this, to do the right thing. We really need to do that. If we're going to reach to the world, and what we need to do then is look to the example that Jesus left for us. His focus was on the business of the Father. Is that where you are today? Is your focus and the most important thing in your life doing what God wants you to be doing? Look at Jesus. You know what? I just want to touch on one thing before we close. The world is watching us. How do you like that? They're watching us. Why are they watching us? You ever notice that a lot of the world sees Christians as a threat? What? But they don't believe in God, maybe. Okay? But there's an interesting thing with that. I heard something that I haven't forgot. I heard a pastor say that his wife told him this one day, and this was amazing. She said, "Have you ever noticed that if you ask most people, 'Do you believe in God?' 'Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe in God. Have you tried it?' Most people will. Not all, but the vast majority will say, 'Oh, yes, of course I believe in God.' But then you say, 'What about his son Jesus?' 'Oh, wait a minute now, just a minute. That's too much. That's too much.' You see, there's the thing. They believe there's a God, or, you know, the man upstairs. But when it comes to Jesus, until they receive him as their Savior, it's offensive to them. Okay? It's threatening to them. But we just need to look at the life of Jesus. When you have Bible study time, look at the life of Jesus and what he did. Here's what I want to touch on last. We're out of time. But today, we're in a new age. Would you agree? The world has changed a lot. Has that affected how you and I do things? I want you to know, what needs to happen is if we are really listening to the Spirit of Christ and he is transforming our mind, we will notice it will change how we relate to God first, to each other, to families, to friends, and everything that goes on around us. Ask the Holy Spirit when we're struggling in some areas of what we're struggling in today, whether it be yielding to our authorities. I want you to know the Bible has a lot to say about it. And a lot of it, you may say, isn't very pleasant. Beside the point. Does that identify who you are because you want to protest? Or anarchy that we see happening all around the world, do we want to be a part of that? I don't think so. We need to ask ourselves, are we doing everything we can to cause our brother not to stumble and not to offend someone that we might otherwise have an opportunity to share the gospel with because we decide that we're not following rules? Do you think I enjoy wearing a mask? We have to think about the things we agree on, okay? And really, really try to help each other come along. Don't ridicule everybody for doing one thing or another, but just encourage one another to do the right thing. This is a time that we're going to be put to the test, and I want you to know, I believe the test is just beginning. I really do. And the Bible makes it clear, if we go against authority, even though they are bad authority. Look at Paul, the time that he lived in Rome. It was a tough time. You think this is bad? You should have lived under Nero. This is nothing. Get ready. You will be able to either stand with Christ or stand with the world. It's up to you. I pray that you will stand with Christ. And that your identity is in Christ and nothing else. Could the music team come up? Most of all, our focus needs to be listening to the Holy Spirit and sharing the good news with those around us, regardless of the situation in our everyday lives. Okay? Remember who you are in Christ. And I just pray today that if you haven't put your trust in him, that you will consider that right now. Because the Bible says we have no promise of another day. So I pray that you will consider doing that today. Thank you.